All right, here with Hannah today. Happy to see you again, Hannah. It wasn't too long we actually saw each other in real life.
Yeah, it was really fun last
Yeah,
week.
really great.
Yeah.
So, what are we talking about today?
So, how to actually get started using positive reinforcement under saddle. So, moving from the ground into the saddle, just that transition period.
Yeah. And before we actually can do that, what do we need before that? Maybe we need a plan of how we actually are gonna introduce positive reinforcement in general. Because we can totally, both of us, see this working. Also introducing a bit of elements from the saddle. Shall we start there?
Sure. So, yes, follow that thought.
And that means basically take what you have and softening it up. Cookie on top is like the often described as cookie on top is something that is mostly not good because it has elements of negative reinforcement in it. And sure, it can be a hard solution for some horses, but for some horses it can also work really, really well. And cookie on top here means that you're using your normal aids, your traditional built-up aids, your pressure and release. And after the horse has done something that you like, or maybe answered your aids really nice, you click and give a food reinforcer.
Yeah, so overall there are kind of a couple of approaches to it, and one is either starting completely from the beginning, which we'll talk about next, and yeah, the other one is adding it into what you're already doing. And I think to choose between them, you can add it into what you're already doing if you have a fairly decent base level with your horse already. So your horse is fairly happy. It doesn't have to be 100% joyful. There might be some things that you want to tweak and change. Build up a bit of motivation, a bit more relaxation here and there. But generally, your horse is happy to be ridden. You work well together under saddle, and you've got a kind of baseline set of behaviors that you can start to build on.
Yeah, this will give a little bit of a different into working with food reinforcers, and you might still want to revisit that part where you work more with how food works from the ground as well, because that can be a little bit different if you choose this path, that you might want to have to redo parts come with relaxation from the ground anyway. But it still can be like if you want to try out stuff and how does this actually work for me and my horse in this setting, or want to add some extra motivation for some stuff, which later on, we're talking maybe some years moving on forward, that using this system consistently and not combining it with also escalating pressure, you're using your cues, but now you're changing the consequence of them. That can become positive reinforcement based cues, but it will probably take a while because most horses and most riders have so much history of escalating pressure, even if it is a little. So that's the
Yeah.
language, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it kind of comes down to, as always, looking at how your horse feels about it. So one approach that I use to assess that is very simple, call it the traffic light approach, but you basically assess how your horse feels in kind of different situations with different behaviors. And a green behavior is one that your horse is relaxed and happy with. An amber behavior is one
Already,
that's
that's what you
already.
mean, right? Yeah.
Yes, already. So yeah, absolutely. So it might be, well, you just go out to the field, your horse comes over, you can put the head collar on, lead them in, everything's relaxed, happy, easy. That would be a green behavior. For riding, it might be that, you know, they line up at the mounting block, you've got nice walk and halt, super. An amber behavior would be one that is okay. So your horse kind of does it, but you know that there's an element of tension in there for some reason. So for example, you might have a horse that's happy with the walk and the halt, but when you go up to trot, it's like a bit sticky. The transition takes a little while. Your horse doesn't really want to maintain the trot for too long. So it's like it's all right, but it's not like great. And then a red behavior is one that's like, okay, the horse really, really doesn't like this. So a horse that's doesn't want to be tacked up, isn't lining up at the mounting block. Obviously, you've got big behaviors that come out ridden. So any kind of bolting, bucking, rearing, ear pinning, tail swishing, like a lot of tension and resistance would be red behaviors. And you kind of want to start thinking about using cookie on top training for mostly green, and occasionally with the kind of more mild amber behaviors, you can sometimes just increase a bit of motivation and clarity by adding those in if there's just a little bit of confusion, frustration, resistance. Anything more than that, I would be looking at retraining it.
Yeah, totally agree on that. And I also think it can be like a soft way for those, which I think is a very good concern to have, that you want to exercise your horse, you're afraid that your horse will put on weight, and maybe the horse already have some insulin resistant issues, which many horses sadly have today. So this can be a good way also to not let go of the movement repertoire that you already have built up, so to speak.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, can be a good choice, yeah.
I think there's also an element there of it can also sometimes be easier that you and your horse already know this stuff.
Yeah.
You're not completely changing everything. Sometimes we can think, oh, it's going to be great. It's like all positive. But when everything's new, that's also a challenge and quite tiring. So if you've already got, your horse already has an understanding and a language and a base level, then that can be a kind of easier road in for them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I have a student that wants to transfer fully at once, I think it's easier for me from the perspective as knowing what's what as an instructor. But I think we always have to take into consideration how the horse and the rider, because they are the one working as a team here. If you feel like you're in the deep waters with your language and with your communication skills, definitely bring some elements of it, which I think also is a good alternative. When we are in Liberty here and I have my tack bag on, treat bag on, then we are doing positive reinforcement in this setting, and maybe you can have some you're working with target in this setting and stuff like that, that is easily recognizable for the horse. And then you do your, when you don't have that, then you do your more traditional training. So there's clearly very clear cues for different scenarios here. I think that can also be like the middle way between going all in and going all in on some stuff. So,
yeah, I think so. And in terms of practically how I introduce it in this setting, the first thing I tend to do, because I'm assuming you've got some, you've done some of the groundwork stuff. You and your horse have got some positive reinforcement training on the ground. Is think about like keeping that the traditional riding and then ending it with, okay, now we're going to go and do the positive reinforcement training stuff on the ground. And then I might, you know, finish the riding session and give them a treat at the end, and then dismount and go and do the clicker training stuff on the ground. And then it might be, okay, so you've been touching a stationary target from the ground. I'm going to end the session and we're just going to ride over to where we do the clicker training. Can you touch the target a couple times and then dismount and do it on the ground? And then you can start to add it into picking and highlighting those moments within your riding.
Yeah. And I think also it's a very smart way of approaching what the horse already, I mean, we often are told, and when it is at the horse, when it did the best repetition, then when it's just jump off as quickly as you can, which is actually not how it works. When we start to work with positive reinforcement, then the horse often wants to, it's very invested in working. But then we can use that kind of idea here, because the horse already probably has an idea of, now we're doing something else. So I think that's super smart from that perspective. I don't know. Did that come out clear?
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, I think so. It's just so choosing when you end your riding session
exactly
can make a big difference.
Yeah.
As well. And one more thing here that I just want to talk about is that you can use it to train like specific behaviors, but you can also use it here. I tend to highlight really good moments. So like responsiveness, for example, might be something that I start to mark and reward. So that might be a great transition, or it might be a lovely turn, or it might be a moment where I feel like they're really tuned into me. You can start to mark and reward those moments within your kind of general riding, or it might be moments of balance or effort, or, you know, just you can start to kind of pick those out. But it's an interesting balance because they quickly start to see any patterns that you, if you do the same thing so too many times. So yeah, that becomes quite an interesting conversation. I think it becomes clearer from the horse what they're really.
Yeah, I think, I mean, probably when we do this also, I mean, we are both suggesting that you have some behaviors built up from the ground here, but you will have a more invested horse also in the work from the riding part. And I think it's like already here, even if you're combining two approaches here a little bit, to start to think about the balance between behavior, because motivation to move or to be an active participant in the training session will quickly change, and that will probably be a bit unfamiliar to some riders, and maybe also feel a little bit, it's a bit much here. And to already here remember that if I reinforce a lot of trotting that previously been like this amber light that you described, probably I also need to reinforce that responsiveness to the aid that you're talking about. That's also the downward transition, you know, stuff like that. So we have that balance going on already in this scenario. Yeah
Don't worry if you start to find you're getting a lot of you know, your horse starts offering things or things get right. Out of the balance, you can fix that again afterwards. And in fact, it's a really good sign that your horse is understanding the process and being a really active participant.
Yeah, and I mean the third option here would be that you train that you have really installed everything from the ground and established that pause work setting that actually is working really well, and that not working is not a punisher, and that working really is that, like, I really like to work and already have some established foundation behavior that you then bring from the ground and build on in the saddle. But then you're using your like clicker trained behavior repertoire to just train it from a different position, which, I mean, that's how we do it most often ourselves with our horses. And when we go back to also refine some behavior, we might have that, okay, it didn't really work. I'm going to go back to the position from the ground where is this actually worked, bring out the mats or bring out the target and clarify something. Because that's also a very much a different approach, that the environment is a little bit more present than in the previous examples, and not a lot more present. Yeah.
Well, I think this leads us very nicely into the other approach of adding positive reinforcement in by training either starting or restarting completely afresh, because then we will be using much more of the approach that you've just described of establishing something on the ground and then transferring it into the saddle. So I think there are two places that I really, okay, there are three, I think, but that I would use this. One would be with obviously a young horse, completely green. I want to train the, everything in a very kind of systematic, reward-based way from the start. Another time that I use this is horses that need restarting. So ones that have got a lot of negative associations about riding. A lot of these have big had big behavioral problems. A lot of, a lot of tension or anxiety, fear, disconnection from the rider. And then I think the third one probably comes from more from the human side, with people who want to do this because they're interested in doing it a different way. But for the horses, it's the start and the restart. When most of the ridden stuff is amber or red, I'll completely strip it back and retrain everything. And that follows the same process as teaching a green horse from the start. The only difference is that with the restarts, you can have some triggers in there that you're often overcoming counter conditioning, you know, some negative experiences. Whereas with the youngsters, you've got a bit of a blank slate. But on the other hand, with the youngsters, you're working with a young horse. So you can have a bit more of the general greenness and kind of emotional variability that you get with youngsters.
No, I think Tiny is a good example of that also. Being, I mean, also with his experience as a rescue horse, probably been very hungry in parts of his life, which is important for him, but also being a very sensitive horse that is a bit of an emotional roller coaster sometimes, even though he has had very much experience from positive reinforcement training in his life. So, yeah, can be very different.
Yeah. So should we talk practically about that approach then?
Well, I would start from the, I mean, I did start it a little bit in the previous comment I made. Can't really remember what I said, but starting to establish how we work with food, I think that would be my number one priority, and how that would work and really prioritize that relaxation and connection. And when stuff doesn't work, really go back to that like approach, even if the horse knows a lot more stuff already, like that's the foundation, that's the core, and then comes the foundation on top of it. Yeah. And really, I think we share those, the nose target, the hoof target, parking or stationing, and the liberty walk, liberty trot, stuff like that. Those four, building everything, rein aids, leg aids, shoulder in, haunches in, I mean, complex movement, we can do everything from those four. And it's what we were on about a little bit also, to build up the a very nuanced responses in interaction with the environment that we later on can, which I say a lot, like, it's just a different position. But I mean, it does take some work for riding to be a different position from working from the ground also. But still, the general view I have is really, okay, it's just a different position. So make sure that your horse is actually used to working from several positions before we sit on our horse. And especially if we have something in the luggage that the horse carries that is not green, that is very red, to make sure to establish riding from the ground as an option also, that is that you still can gymnasticize your horse here. Okay, Hannah, what do you say?
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. I was just going to put that into a practical example. So, for example, if you're teaching your horse to walk on, then the first thing you do is you have it from your leading by their side position. And then you can train from different positions on the ground. So, well, in front of them, behind them, from lunging position, and you've just got that same cue. So it's probably going to be a voice cue. Mine is just walk on. And you can use the environment to help set that up. So initially you might be walking to a mat or walking to a target or something that your horse understands to go to. And then once you've done it in lots of different places from the ground, then it's fairly straightforward. It's a few steps missing here because of time, but once you can mount and connect it in the saddle, then you can use the same training setup. So you can have a mat or a target in, you know, a few steps away from the mounting block. And because you've already practiced it in so many different ways from the ground, now you're on your horse is relaxed and connected with you. You should be able to give the same cue, the walk on cue. The training setup explains the behavior the horse walks on. You can mark and reward and build from there. So that's the same. I mean, that's a very, obviously a very basic behavior, but it's actually the same process that you use for walk, stop, turn.
Yeah.
Also lateral exercises, faster movements, all of that is using this idea of a training setup on the ground, different positions, get it solid, get connected on the horse's back, repeat it in as similar a way as possible so that they understand what it is that you're asking. And it transfers very easily.
Yes, especially if you have done more position than just a leading position, because taking care to work, that the horse is a little bit more independent working from a distance from you, that's what I mean now. So the launch position of walking behind the horse, that's very, very, very smart to build that a little bit more independent. And that also gives the idea, because in the beginning we are basically passive luggage, which I love. I love that part. So I think that's good. And the horse is working a little bit, cueing off the environment. And then later I add my walk on cue or hold cue or whatever cue I now want. So I love that. I love that way of working from so many perspectives. Yeah.
Yeah. So in terms of actually starting this process, I would say, you know, since this is about how to start positive reinforcement in the saddle, if you want to go down this route, then I think I would look at a lot of the work on the ground first, and then that will transfer. It's just very step by step into the saddle. A key piece of this is the mounting block, which I think we have to talk about if we're talking about riding. So that's really the kind of bridge from the ground to the saddle. And it keeps, I think a lot of horses lose their human when you get on their back. And I think the way that many horses have been introduced to a rider hasn't been as particularly, if it's been done, you know, in a lot of more traditional ways, hasn't been done particularly focusing on either relaxation or the connection between the horse and the rider. So the horse actually, if you feel like you've got a good relationship on the ground and completely disconnected in the saddle, then the mounting block can really help to kind of bridge that gap. Or if you're starting afresh and teaching a horse brand new, then it also kind of explains to your horse that it's just you working in yet another position. Yeah. So I think it's really important.
Yeah, me too. And I mean, here is where we can build so much, so nuanced two-way communication to really get the idea, because that is also the huge difference. We didn't name it, but having the opportunity to say no to riding and training in general, that is, of course, also a huge difference from often how the previous scenario in the horse's life have looked like. And the mountain block as a symbol for, like, it's going to become a strong symbol for, okay, she's getting on my back. Do I want this or not? So also in itself, it will cue now this is going to happen. So yeah. From that perspective, also really important to train. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And one other element that I think is important to mention here is that teaching them how to take a treat from the saddle, because this is another bit where, which can be a bit messy, is if they don't know how to balance or they don't have the flexibility to bend around and take the treat, then that's going to be quite tricky. So you can work starting from the ground, feeding them, asking them almost kind of like carrot stretches, asking them to bend around more towards their shoulder and see if they're the same on both sides. It's a good exercise anyway to measure their flexibility. But also you can do that from the mounting block too. So you're just stood next to them, but you're up a bit. And again, getting used to them, or they're getting used to you kind of leaning forwards and bending around to take the treat, because you want to make sure that that's not going to unbalance or upset your horse once you are in the saddle. So I do a couple steps on the ground first.
Yeah, and many horses are super stiff, so it's really important to make sure, I mean, in general, for their health, I think they should be capable of scratching their own sides. That's good for any horse. And from that perspective, I mean, in the beginning, I prefer, if I can choose, I prefer to sit still a lot and the horse comes to my hand just to keep the balance for the next repetition so we can continue on forward. But in the beginning, of course, if this is impossible for a horse, by all means, lean in the stirrups and help the horse take the treat here. But definitely something that I do a training plan for if this is impossible for my horse, because either my horse is very unbalanced or is super stiff. So both we want to help them with. So
yeah, absolutely. And the part of that I also work on a lot, and this kind of comes into some of the mounting block work, but is a really strong take the reward and then just stand still with your head forwards before we do anything, because it's something that I see a lot is where on the ground, people are really happy to feed the horse and then immediately go into the next behavior. And then they don't realize that they've actually trained that. And then riding, as they've leant forward to give the treat or they want to do up their treat bag or whatever, the horse is immediately walking off. And that can feel quite not particularly great for either of you.
Especially if you have leaned forward here too.
If you're leaning forward, yeah. And also if you've, you know, got at all worried about the riding element, then it can feel a bit like, oh, I lost that connection, lost the control. So really establish, take the treat and just stand still. yeah. and relax. And I do that a lot by, okay, now can we take a treat on the other side and stand still and relax?
Yeah.
And take a treat on the other side and stand still and relax. And then I might get off and that might be a first written mini session.
Yeah.
So that you've got that really well established before trying to move on.
Yeah. Later on, I do a lot of the halt work in close relation to the mountain block also. In the beginning, I might want to have it a little bit cleaner, so it only means getting up there and you know, that's... But later on, definitely I do some rain work in the beginning at that context as well, and have like mini sessions like Hannah just said, that is riding in halt, you know, but super short. And I mean, I also think it's because I am myself, I think when we are riding out, we do a little bit different, because then I am personally happy. So the context seemed to be clear for the most part for my horses, that, okay, in the riding arena, we do this, and outside, yeah, we did that. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
They pick that sort of stuff up very.
Yeah. But just be aware of what you actually reinforce here, because it will stick.
Yeah. And you and your horse can figure out how you want it to go. That's the other thing. This isn't set in stone. So just if it feels like it's going out of balance one way, just know there are ways to bring that back into balance. But I think that's kind of generally the approach I would take in order to kind of just get started. There's a lot
totally.
Of
me too. Yeah, me too. And I think it's good practice anyway to have it if you want to build your walk-on cues there also really, really strong. I think that's also in general a super good practice. So yeah. All right, where are we now? Yeah
I think that's about it for just now. I don't know if I've got much else to add. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
I don't think so. I felt like we covered the most that we wanted to say here. I mean, there are so many nuanced. I mean, we did like very huge sketching of three different ways of doing this. There are a thousand more nuanced ways that you can combine everything. I hope it works. Otherwise, you tell us. Yeah.
Absolutely. I do keep thinking of other things, but they quickly evolve into bigger topics, so we're gonna have to come back and talk about some other elements.
Yeah, what is riding? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Hannah. Thank you for this conversation.
Yeah, and you. It was always fun as always.
Yeah, it is.